It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good.
Greetings and welcome, everybody, to the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. Ray Adams here with you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The Golf Lifestyle Show is on the air. This radio podcast first goes, as I've told you so many times, and I'll keep reminding you, to golfnewsnet.com. I want to thank them so very much for being a wonderful partner and a massive platform. 1.5 million golfers every month go to the website, golfnewsnet.com. And on there, there's a radio tab. You can find my shows there. Great American Golf, Saturday mornings, Monday Golf Lifestyle Show on Monday evenings. And you will love it. Television tab, Match Play with Ray Adams TV show. Got a brand new episode being put up very soon. Actually, I have 7 new episodes that have all been filmed and they're being edited now. So there'll be one right after the other over the next few months. I'm excited about that. And then after that, the radio shows go to all the big audio platforms within a day or so. And then the television show goes to Roku and the big video platforms. So that's where we are with the shows. Thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate you very much. And I've got a great one, Dr. Bob Denny, joining us. Craig Renshaw, our PGA professional, is not able to be with us today. He has a busy, busy Monday still going on. And we understand that as a golf instructor and many other things he's doing in his new digs down in Florida there by Dr. Bob Denny. A little bit later in the show, I've got John Claffey. He is the Vice President of Development Marketing at Tour Edge Golf. We'll talk about the new logo, the new look. We'll talk about the new exotics. We'll talk everything Tour Edge Golf a little bit later in the show. If you want to get ready, touredge.com. And I want to thank for bringing this segment to you, Squares Golf Shoes, S-Q-A-I-R-Z. So many years with Squares, helping them get launched a number of years ago, and then every year in and year out, Squares Golf Shoes front and center on these radio shows, television, and of course, all in my gift guides throughout the year. Big holiday gift guide is going out for Black Friday in the end of the month of November. Coming up in about a week, that gift guide will start being sent out to everybody. And then in early December, the holiday gift guide will go out again with a little different look and a little different set of graphics for the sponsors that are in that holiday gift guide. If you want to be on my email list, it's golfadams@msn.com. You can write to me anytime about anything. And if you want to be on my email list and get my gift guides and my other email sends during the year, golfadams@msn.com. I'll put you on and it'll be great. All right, Dr. Bob Denny, there he is, PGA historian emeritus. Bob, I tell you, what a week in golf. And we are winding these tours down, and there's so much great news about it. Let me start with you, and you tell me, what was your highlight of the weekend?
Well, there was a variety of things, Ray. I enjoyed watching bits and pieces by recording the LPGA International Crown from Korea. I wasn't going to stay up at those hours of the night to just try to watch it, but there was some great golf. And I also watched a little bit of the Bank of Utah Championship with Wake Forest graduate Michael Brennan, 23 years old, on a sponsor invite. And his third PGA Tour start, he wins the championship and earns a PGA Tour card. That was nice to see that.
What a story. Keep going.
Yes. On the DP World Tour, American Jordan Gumberg keeps his card by holing out on the last hole for Eagle in Korea. He needed to be within the top 115, and he came into the tournament and ranked 158. So he tied for seventh in the event. And that was just, he was jumping into everybody's arms by after he holed out that shot and
Yeah.
no power. It was just fun to watch that and to see that kind of excitement for someone who's completely off the radar, most people. But that's the
Of
way golf
course.
is. We have great talent up and down the rosters and all these tours. So that was highlight to see that. Plus a lot of different news around the industry.
Let's get to that. Let's get to some of the news and some of the things happening. I've got a little
All right.
Shane Lowry story that I was reading, and I think that was very important. You've got some legal battle happening going on with the PGA Tour. You can fill us in on that. And we'll talk a little bit of Ryder Cup. And then, of course, we've got Peter Dawson. You can tell us who he is and what he said about LIV Golf. We'll talk about that. And then we're going to continue to look at the Ladies Tour and where we are with the Champions Tour. Stephen Alker keeps winning. He can't stop. He can't help himself. He's just doing great. And we're going to be having Tiffany Nelson, who is the executive director of the Charles Schwab Cup Championship, and it's up for grabs this year. Tiffany will be coming on the show a couple of times, and she's got a wonderful gift that she's offering again, folks. You'll always want to listen to Tiffany Nelson from the Charles Schwab Cup Championship, the executive director, being at Phoenix Country Club this coming next month. I'll be at the media day in about a week or 10 days, and then the tournament comes up around the mid-month of November. We'll talk a lot more about it with Tiffany Nelson as she comes on. And Bob, I've got Lee Wybranski, the famed artist, coming on. He has done so many of the various big golf events. He's done their artwork and posters and what have you. I met Lee at the US Open a few years ago at LA Country Club. And then I met and saw him again a few weeks ago at the Ryder Cup. Got a poster from him. He signed it. And Lee Wybranski's coming on. He lives in Flagstaff, Arizona. And that's only about 90 minutes from me up the mountain from Phoenix, Arizona. He'll be coming on. So lots of great things happening and some shows coming up. Everybody wants to keep tuning in. Find me on the Golf News Net and then go find me on all the big audio platforms that you like to listen to your music and your audio podcast from. Okay, back to Brennan. You know, this young man gets a sponsor exemption. He plays in the tournament, at Black Desert. And he then wins the golf tournament, this Bank of Utah Championship, as his first PGA Tour start. Now, I don't know.
Actually, it was third start.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I'm reading an article here saying in his first PGA Tour start as a professional,
That's true. That's
Brennan
true. A
became
as a
the,
professional,
well,
correct.
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm
Yeah.
talking about being a pro.
Yes.
Yeah, no. A lot of these guys, many of them, and the ladies even play as amateurs. They get
Right.
exemptions here and there. I'm talking about as a pro. He wins his first PGA Tour event as a pro. Now, Bob, you're our historian, and I don't want to put you on the spot, and I'm not going to, but maybe over the week you can have a look. That's not done very often. It's
No, no.
very, very rare to do that. And then to get a sponsor's exemption and win the tournament. So what about Michael Brennan? I mean, he is something else. 23 years old. He was a big star at Wake Forest. And now, even though he qualified for the Korn Ferry Tour, he skips it and he goes straight to the PGA Tour because he wins a 2-year exemption, which is just as important as winning the tournament to him. He gets that 2-year exemption to be able to be on the PGA Tour. And he gets in, I believe, one of the elevated events, if I read that correctly. He was 451 in the world before. And here he is again. We talked about the 500th ranked player in the world, winning in Japan and now being able to go to the Masters to play and to the Open Championship. Now you talk here a few moments ago about the player that gets the Eagle and gets his DP World Tour card. I tell you, these are great times for golf. I call it TV golf. It's exciting golf. And you never know when one of these players that nobody has ever heard of is going to pop up and do something very big. Bob?
Well, Mr. Brennan is the seventh player since 1970 to win in his first PGA Tour title within his first three starts. So I
55
don't,
years. Wow.
right. Yeah, I don't have obviously the other six, but I'm sure they're interesting as well.
Well,
But
yeah.
yeah, meanwhile, he's doing something that a law student wish they could do. They could ace their exam and go straight into practice,
Yeah.
rather than have to deal in law school. And he graduated quickly by doing this with his victory. And that's just it's just one of the great little stories that hide behind the scenes. And I always found that golf had the best stories, Ray. That's why I stayed in it and studied it so back and forth, because there's parts of a golf history that can be revised and improved upon with more facts and figures and background, as you are a history teacher yourself in the past. So you know that there's a lot of ways that we can study this game, but it's an ancient game, but it has still has some great wrinkles to it.
Well, it does. And there's no history like golf history as far as sports go. And with everything good going on in golf, although there's some challenges out there still. And I know you have one that you're going to bring up here in a moment about the PGA Tour and a little bit of hot water going on there. And it seems like every week there's some hot water with the PGA Tour. They still haven't got it all figured out. They're trying to do it under the new CEO of the tour. And we'll mention that here in a few minutes, but just lots of great things happening in golf, I think, overall. And LIV has their year planned out. They're gonna play a bunch of golf, and we're still in the aftermath of the Ryder Cup, with the good and the bad. And we'll talk about Ryder Cup because with Leroy Wybranski, when I have Leon, the artist who did the poster for the Ryder Cup at Bethpage. He and I spoke on the phone this morning. He'll be an interesting person to have on to talk all about his art over the years, but then also about well, just everything that he does as a golf artist is fascinating. And the skill level, the artistic level, I can't say enough about Lee Wybranski. And there are other golf artists as well that I've had on the show over the years, and they are equally as skilled and wonderful in their work. All right, talking about the Ryder Cup for just a moment, we will get back to the tours, but you talk about Shane Lowry. I read an article this week that said, the Ryder Cup means, he said, the Ryder Cup means everything to me. Honestly, I've won the Open in Ireland. It's amazing. It's a dream come true. But the Ryder Cup for me is everything. To do that there today on the 18th green in front of everyone, it was so hard out there. Now he's talking about the fact that he made that wonderful putt. And of course, obviously, Europe was able to retain the cup. But when you listen to Shane Lowry, and then I read this article again, and I believe it was a host named Trey Wingo that talked to Shane, and this came out. He said something about after holing that putt, and it shows what makes team Europe's so difficult to beat. And that he said, quote, it means more to them. I don't care what anybody says, it does mean more to them. Quote, you're not going to hear a US player say, I would give up a major championship to secure a winning putt for the Ryder Cup, which is basically an exhibition. Yes, it's the coolest, most hostile, and competitive exhibition there is, maybe in all of sport. But, and this is a repeat, Dr. Bob, but would any American player say what Shane Lowry said? I have won the Open in Ireland, Northern Ireland, and this means more to me. This means more to me. I don't think there's an American player who would say that. Winning the Ryder Cup means more to these players from Europe than even winning a major championship. Bob, I can't wait to hear your comments on that.
I have no objection to it. Obviously, I've always believed that a European player grows up with the Ryder Cup in their DNA. I think they also grow up into an environment where they're seeing soccer or rugby played at the highest level, and they understand that their fellow competitors and people in their peer groups are going on to success, and that's what they achieve and what they like to see. They would want to achieve at the highest level, be there. Well, as a golfer in Europe, they are at that point where they can have a chance to achieve at the highest level in their mind, which is the Ryder Cup. And
Yeah.
that's what they have always been. The Ryder Cup was born in England. It was 1927. And it originally was played in 26 at Wentworth, but it didn't have a complete fields on the United States side, because of a variety of things, including a general strike. And the trophy was not presented until 1927 at Worcester Country Club in Massachusetts. From that point forward, it became a basically an Olympic type of feeling for both sides of the Atlantic. Before the golf was even thought of to be in vogue as an international sport, that was where it started. So it's in their DNA, Ray, and that's a long answer to a short question, but I always believe that they grow up believing that this is the highest achievement for them. And yes, some of them would trade majors, many would. And just to say that they were on a winning Ryder Cup team and tell that to their grandkids. And in Shane Lowry's case, he stroked home the putt that's retained the trophy.
Yes. Brando Chamblee had some comments as well. He said that Europe came out on top at Bethpage Black because there's a deeper difference in approach between the two sides. Chamblee suggested that the Americans were beaten before play had started. The article goes on to talk about referencing the controversy around players seeking payment to participate. He said, quote, the U.S. gave us all a hell of a show today, talking about the American singles matches against the Europeans on Sunday of the Ryder Cup a few weeks ago. He said, the U.S. gave us a hell of a show today and took what was inconceivable and made it look possible. But the reason I think they were so far behind after 2 days is they were distracted by the negative response to them pushing to get paid to play in the Ryder Cup. And I think that rallied Europe around the common bond of playing for pride and not for profit, said the commentator, talking about Randall Chamblee. Well, I don't know if I agree with Shamble that that's the reason why, but I can certainly tell you Brandel's very rarely off. He's pretty right on, and he is one that does his homework. But I don't know that the Europeans, yes, they rallied around the Americans being paid, and I think they used that as a motivator to their team. But I just don't know that that really. I don't think I can put my finger on that being the reason. Certainly, it may have been a part of it from an emotional standpoint, but I believe that the European team, now this is a genius comment I'm ready to make. Everybody, hold on. You might even want to write it down. You should record this, folks. Are you ready? Europe played better than the American team. Ha! Historical genius, right there, Bob. Historical genius. That's what I just said. Yes, I said it. And you know something, Occam's razor, Bob, the simplest answer is usually the best. Europe simply outplayed played America, and they have been doing it for a long time. And this is what Sir Nick Faldo said: not only are we in your head, American team, the Europeans are, but check your scoring. Bob, you talked about this with the putting and different things. The Europeans won the Ryder Cup because they played better than the American team.
In American football, when you are having a monumental halftime lead, and you come back out in the third quarter as the leading team, a lot of that is a little bit of a mental letdown, a little bit of a
Yes.
relief. And
Yes.
I do believe that Europe, had that been a 1 point margin entering the Sunday singles, a
Yes.
lot of different play would have been happening out there. And I know the pairings would have been different by Luke Donald as well as Keegan Bradley, but it wasn't. And back to your question, though, that obviously they were making birdies together on in foursome matches 2 days in a row. And the number one player in the world, Scottie Scheffler, did not get a point. And that those are devastating blows, right,
Yes.
for the home team. So
Yes.
those things enter into it. Europe plays better. They also made more trips to Long Island golf courses, including several to Bethpage to practice. So I'm not necessarily saying that the golf course setup was advantageous to Europe. They practice better together.
Yeah, they do. Well, they care more, and I think Shane Lowry is the poster person for that. They simply just care more and they play better. They rise to the occasion. And, you know, Ryder Cup in and Ryder Cup out over the years, the American team is better on paper. You know, higher global golf rankings and money's won and on it goes. And yet the Americans get beat time after time after time again. And now it's back to back where the Europeans win on American soil. More of my Ryder Cup videos, you're going to be seeing them posted on my YouTube channel, Instagram, and Facebook. All three of those locations you can find. Match Play TV is the way to do it. All one word, Match Play TV. And I also want to thank Ashworth Golf Apparel for outfitting me, not just for the Ryder Cup, and you'll see my videos where I'm wearing in every one of them, whether they be at the Ryder Cup or whether we're out and about around the city seeing the sights in New York City after the Ryder Cup. You'll see me in my Ashworth golf apparel. So grateful to Ashworth. Yes, the golf man is back, and I am an ambassador and proud to be one, honored to be one. You want to go to ashworth-golf.com. They are a company, a golf company of history. And when you wear Ashworth golf apparel, folks, you're part of golf history. That's just the way it is. All right, Dr. Bob, what's going on with Peter Dawson? Tell us who he is and tell us what he did and tell us what he had to say this week.
There was a wonderful feature by John Hopkins, a friend of mine who's an award-winning author and sports writer from the UK, in Global Golf Post. I encourage all our listeners to go to Global Golf Post for further more information about this, as well as the industry itself. It's a great resource. Peter Dawson served 16 years as chief executive of the Royal Nation Golf Club. That's the rules-making body, folks, of every part of the globe except the USA and Mexico, and they administer the Open Championship. He was the voice you heard resonate each summer with a score of blank, blank, blank. The winner of the gold medal and champion golf of the year is Ray Adams. You know, that was one of them. It's just a wonderful voice, and you distinctively remember that Peter Dawson was presenting that to you on the green. He was chair of the official World Golf Rankings from 2015 to the present year, and he's now the managing director of the Old Course Hotel at St. Andrews. While he was the official golf rankings chair, he expanded from 5 to 25 world tours, and he also had a duty to ensure that all the thousands of players on those rankings are ranked equitably. He was the man that campaigned to bring golf to the Olympics. He did a wonderful job of bringing that together. He organized the International Golf Federation. He did a wonderful behind the scenes type of thing. Peter Dawson is a very cool conciliator, a wonderful negotiator. He's worked in engineering and business before he got into golf as well. And he is a man that I've met several times, including and 2 years ago when I was working on research for a caddy school book. Here's what interesting he said, Ray. I can't see that LIV Golf has been a success by any measure. LIV has given great wealth to a very few people, but in terms of engagement, its format of team golf isn't resonating anywhere near enough with the fan base. He did give credit to say that I really don't know why PIF and Saudi Arabia are persisting with it. They are doing wonderful things for the women's game with the PIF Golf Global Series and have terrific plans inside their country for expanding golf for their own people and for tourism. These initiatives deserve our applause, but LIV Golf seems to be the odd man out.
Yeah, he called LIV Golf the odd man out, and you know, and I presume that you would expect him to do that. And I believe that the Saudis and various companies are the largest sponsors of the LPGA Tour, or certainly a large sponsor of events for women's golf globally. Now, when he says that LIV Golf is the odd man out, again, you would expect him to say something like that. You expect him to think that because, of course, LIV is not traditional, classic, you know, antique golf. As you said
Actually,
a
it's more
while.
than that. It's more than that, Ray.
Go ahead.
They basically have problems with their own system, 54-hole events, when the rest of the world has got the 72-hole events on their rankings. They have no cut events. The World Golf Rankings has historically prioritized 72-hole events with cuts, and LIV's 54-hole no-cut format is inconsistent. Their field size have 48-player fields considered too small by the rankings format and platform for meaningful rankings compared to other tours. So that's what you find in the problematic thing of trying to blend it all. So they're looking at the thousands of golfers from those 24 other tours and saying, how do they get in? How are they equitably ranked as opposed to LIV, which has these very big stars on it? We're playing no cut 54-hole events.
Okay,
That's the essence of it.
it is, but here's the thing. LIV set out to be just that. Greg Norman put this together with PIF, the Public Investment Fund. Billions of dollars were and are available. And there was a reason why they got together and did this. But this was the brainchild, and this was Greg Norman as the architect putting together LIV Golf, loud music, a party atmosphere, short pants. 54 holes, no cuts. And this attracted some of the greatest players in the world. You could name a few, Bob. Go ahead. Give us three or four of the greatest players in the world. And there's others. There's 30 or 40 that were attracted by and are attracted by LIV. And I think they will continue to be attracted by it because they're paying them so much money to join LIV. But then they're providing a career lifestyle that's very, very different than the PGA Tour. Go ahead.
Jon
Who went?
Rahm,
John Rahm.
Bryson
Sh
DeChambeau,
DeChambeau.
Brooks Koepka,
Yeah.
Tyrrell Hatton.
Okay.
Okay, that's just
And we can go on and
number
on. Some of the great
numbers. Yeah.
Sergio, others. We can go on and on. These great players went over and they said they went over. Yes, we know that money was a major factor. We're talking about legacy money, money where for generations after these players are long gone, that money will still be in their family and working and doing things. So when you talk about that kind of money, Yes, it's going to attract some players. But they also went over for the other reasons they said. They just like it. They're having fun with it. They're enjoying the lifestyle that LIV Golf allows them to have. Now, they'd all like to play in the majors. Some of them would like to get back and play on the PGA Tour as well. I think that they should be able to go back and forth at ease. They're professional players, they're independent contractors. Okay, yes, there's some agreements and there's some controls over the players, but my opinion is they should be able to go back and forth, play as they will, and that's great for the game of golf. You tell me, where am I going wrong?
Yeah, some have wanted to go back and forth, especially to the DP World Tour. And Sergio Garcia paid the fines. Jon Rahm and Tyrrell Hatton appealed them. Didn't pay the fines yet. They're going to be facing the appeal court, so to speak, in quotes, coming up. And they were allowed at the time to play in the Ryder Cup. So that was a big boost for Europe, obviously, at that point. But the point is, the European Tour, the DP World Tour, would not exist without its strength of its fields, and it has to have some kind of a structure to it. So the fines were put in place to hold these players together. And if they want to pay those fines, wonderful, they can play it. And Sergio did, thinking he had a chance to make a Ryder Cup team. Well, he didn't pan out. And as it turned out, he didn't. So that was one of the important things. But the DP, excuse me, the PIF and Saudi Arabia Investment Fund are not going to be paying fines now for anybody going forward. That's the important thing. So they have to appeal them or negotiate a way in. And as of right now, based on what I've read and also listening to Peter Dawson's remarks, they're not going to bend.
I don't think so. There's a lot of people in this world that are not bending right now. We could name them, but we're not going to because this is a golf show. But there are people and organizations that are just simply not bending. And I hope that we can move to a world, especially in golf, where some bending does happen, some negotiations happen. Peter Dawson was a negotiator. He was a person that brought people together. He unified people. He added to and multiplied to the game of golf. Others subtract and divide from. They're not a unifier. They are distractors. They're disruptors and they're problematic. Now, who all and where all they are, I'll leave it to you, the listeners, to figure that out. It comes up from time to time during the discussions on these shows. I'm hoping that it all comes together. We're going to take a break here in, well, we're going to take a break here right now. I hope you'll listen to these very important messages that will help you with your game and help you with your life. And we'll be back in just a moment. And we have some very special golf talk still to finish, as well as a wonderful guest coming on in just a little bit. Back in just a moment here on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show.
Introducing the revolutionary T-Clip, a 4-in-1 magnetic T-holder, an alignment tool, a divot repair tool, and a ball marker. It's handcrafted to provide effortless access to your golf tees, all without digging in your pockets. Visit our website, theTClip.com, to experience the difference and order yours now. Straight Line Golf brings you the club alignment system that will change the way you play golf while reducing your strokes on the course. How many times have you bought a golf fade that fell short of success? Our system is changing the way golf is played, whether novice or professional. Our patented club alignment system is a visual aid comprised of decals attached to your club shaft and can be left on the shaft while you play. This USGA permitted system will help with great repeatable shots for great alignment and swing. Visit StraightLine.golf for more details.
Legacy Golf Resort in Phoenix. Experience the thrill of our championship golf course. Dine in the full-service restaurant at the Trails End Bar and Grill. Our golf performance center is equipped with cutting-edge technology, helping you refine your game and unlock your full potential. We're not just a golf destination. We're also the perfect backdrop for your dream wedding at our gorgeous award-winning Sierra Vista venue. Whether it's a birdie on the course or the perfect I do under the desert sun, Legacy Golf Resort creates memories that last a lifetime.
It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life, it's a new life for me. And I'm feeling good. So good.
Greetings and welcome back to the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, everybody. Ray Adams here with Dr. Bob Denny, our PGA of America historian emeritus. Lots to talk about still in the show, and a great guest coming up from Tour Edge, one of the great golf club manufacturing companies in the world. Been a sponsor of mine for so many years, and I can't wait to continue on with them through 2026 as well. We'll talk with John Claffey here in just a little bit. You know, the tickets for the 2025 Charles Schwab Cup Championship went on sale on September the 9th. So it's been well over a month, folks, and I hope you've gone in and you have your tickets. You go to schwabcup.com. S-C-H-W-A-B, Schwab Cup, one word, schwabcup.com. Going to be at the historic Phoenix Country Club here in Phoenix, Arizona, where this show and my Great American Golf Show emanates from, as well as November the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. Media Day is coming up in about 8 or 10 days. I'll be there for that, getting the media credentials all in order for the November 13th through 16th PGA Tour Champions Big Charles Schwab Cup. Now, there are so many different ticket options for you. I want you to make sure that you go there and find the different ticket options. There's ground tickets for $35. Weekly tickets are $85. There's an elevated fan experience for $75 per day at the Oasis, which is a big open-air venue located adjacent to the number 15th tee and the number 17th green, with premium food and beverage available for purchase. Lots happening. Kids 15 and under are admitted free with a ticketed adult every day of the tournament. And you are also going to be happy to know that all active and retired military are admitted into the golf club, or into the event, as well with complimentary grounds tickets. So there is so much happening. You've got to go to schwabcup.com. And to access the military tickets, by the way, you want to visit charlesschwabcup.com. So many things happening at the Schwab Cup coming up, folks. I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we're back right now. And this segment is going to be brought to you by wonderful Tour Edge Golf Clubs Manufacturing. We'll be talking with Tour Edge in just a moment, but they're bringing the entire finish of the show. Dr. Bob, back to you. Tell me, where are we headed with the Champions Tour? Stephen Alker wins again. He can't stop. I think it's becoming a U.S. law that if Stephen Alker is in a tournament, he either finishes winning or in the top four or five. It's amazing, isn't it? What a career.
Yes, he's doing that. Man is our generation's Hale Irwin or Lee Trevino, or you know, or Bernhard Langer. I think he's the generation that's got good health, excellent game. He's precision, and he's a likable person. You know, and it's just wonderful to see his talent project. And I just hope he keeps it going.
Lives right here in the Phoenix area. Stephen Alker hails from New Zealand. He's a Kiwi. And he was a full 30-minute television show that I filmed with Steven a couple of years ago. And he had already won and catapulted into global fame at that point on the Champions Tour. But he has, of course, done even more. He's, as I said, a week in and week out person that you have to watch out for. And he'll haul off and beat you just like he did yesterday. How are the ladies doing, Bob?
Well, at the start of the program, I've mentioned that it was interesting to watch them play in Korea in the International
Yes.
Crown, which
Yes.
was a format where they'd have round robins between three different groups of teams or pools, I should say. And the United States ended up in a final against Australia and was defeated by Australia, a team that included Hannah Green, who's won a Women's PGA Championship before, and Minji Lee, who's won two majors before. So it was good to see that. And I thought it was interesting, Ray, when a putt was dropping into the hole in that golf tournament, it sounded like it was falling into a pail. You could hear it ringing around. It was the weirdest sound I've ever heard on a golf tournament when a ball was found. It's like they had a microphone at the bottom of a pail to catch it.
Yes.
And but I also had a question, and obviously with Craig not on our program today, I was looking at the texture of those greens, and it's sort of, I'm a layman, but those greens in Korea to me looked like they had just been aerated and just came out of aeration. It was a weird look to it.
So they
I don't know if
punched
you
them.
saw that. I don't know if you saw that, but anyway, it was interesting to see that. And the world team finished third, and that was a team that had Lydia Ko, Charlie Hull, Brooke Henderson, and I can't pronounce this other word very well. I want to say it's Wei Ling Su,
Okay.
HSU.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
All
But anyway,
right.
that was interesting to watch that. And now they're going to Malaysia this week for the women's, then to Japan, and they come back to the United States to play in the Anika and then the CME Group Tour in Naples, Florida.
All right. There he is, Dr. Bob Denny. I appreciate you so very much, Dr. Bob. And we just have a great fall finish, let's call it, going on. The ladies heading to their big race for the globe. We've got the PGA Tour champions headed to Venice Country Club for the Charles Schwab Cup Championship, which is totally up in the air. And we'll have Tiffany Nelson on to talk more about that and bring a wonderful gift for one of you golfers. She does it every year, and it is a very wonderful gift. It's very cool to do what we're going to be talking about. So make sure you stay tuned because you might be able to get this. Let's find out. It's very cool. Walking with the players. I'll give you a hint. Walking with the players during the Schwab Cup Championship. Inside the ropes. More about that to come when Tiffany comes on. All right. And then, I just want to keep in our thoughts professional golf globally. I want it to do well. I want it to be appealing. I want it to be fun for the fans, interesting for the golf commentators and analysts, and something that we can all rally around and be and come together about, as opposed to being separated and divided. I want unity in the game, Bob, and I know that you agree with that, and you're certainly willing, welcome to make a comment about that.
I believe that why golf will always survive in the local roots as well as the regional and national roots is what it does for charity. And I always believe
Yeah.
that that's the one element that keeps it going. That's the fundamental foundation. What concerns me is the economy and what's going on now for the volunteer base and also for those that produce these monumental purses and the networks. How long will they be able to sustain if the business model changes at all? But I the volunteers are at the essence. They are the grassroots of any event. And I've been around a number of volunteer bases way before I was a member of the PGA of America staff. And I was watching the Quad Cities tournaments, and I was watching Iowa events, Minnesota events. I was watching how the Midwest folks rallied around and produced that. So to me, that's the essence and the importance of the future of golf is how well does it still attract that volunteer base?
Well, and the kids, Golf for the kids, the boys and girls, the young men and young ladies that are coming into the game, wanting to see the game grow by way of the young people, all over the world and in new different countries where there hasn't been golf. This is why I'm so excited for Elissa Godet and what she does with Women's Golf Day, Bob, in that she's bringing golf for women, but golf nonetheless to countries that heretofore really has not been involved with golf or certainly not much at all. So it's been great to be a part of this 25 years and still going for 25 more. Can't wait. A lot of fun. And I can't wait to continue to finish out this fall season, get into the new season and 2026. So much more to talk about, though, over the next couple of months as we finish out 2025 and these big season-ending championships going on as well all over the world. All right, Dr. Bob Denny, there he is. Dr. Bob, thank you so very much for joining today. And it is with my distinct pleasure. I'm introducing for many years my friend, colleague, and wonderful sponsor for all these years, John Claffey. John, he knows that he is Wunderkind in the golf industry. So many people know John, they respect John, and they know that John's history has been a winning way history everywhere he's been, and now for many years with Tourage Golf. And the moment you came on, John Claffey, you and I met at the Orlando Golf Show. I already knew what you had done at Volvic and your work there, but you brought me on and we started our sponsorship together. We haven't ended it in all these years, and I'm pleased to welcome the Vice President of Marketing at Tourage Golf Club, John Claffey. John, welcome, buddy.
Yeah, good to be back with you, Ray. How are things?
Great to see you. And I see that you are wearing the new Tour Edge logo. I want to start there, but tell me overall, because Dr. Bob Denny and I, and you know Dr. Bob Denny from the PGA of America historian, and we were talking just about the state of golf and Peter Dawson's comments about LIV and just where we are with all the different tours. And of course, Stephen Alker wins on the PGA Tour Champions yet again yesterday, and we're heading into the Schwab Cup. I can't wait to hear from you. Just your overall thoughts about professional tour golf, from the men to the women, to the Americas, to the Europes. What's your overall thoughts? Where are we?
Yeah, with the pro tours, I'd say we're in an overall good space. It's not obviously the best space that we can be. The talent is at a level that's higher than it's ever been before. There's more parity, there's more competition. I think some of the things the PGA Tour has done in the last couple of years to boost ratings, it actually worked this year. So I would say healthy. I would say room to grow. The competition out on, the LPGA Tour, I really like their team event that they had this past weekend, and
Yep.
really, really like where things are at there. The Korn Ferry Tour continues to be the feeder system to the big tour, and consistently brings up your future champions on the PGA Tour. You
They
know,
do.
LIV has definitely muddied the waters when it comes to, losing some of these big names on a week-to-week basis and in the signature events. Do some of those guys wish that they were back on the PGA Tour? I bet they do.
They do.
Now, that are they counting count are they sleeping well at night? I think they are. Their
They are.
bank account is looking good. I think they miss the competition and the format and the legacy, but it's about time some of those contracts are coming up. Are some of those guys going to come back? Where are these negotiations actually at? Are they
Well,
dead? They seem
nobody
to
ever
be.
knows anything for the last 3 years about all this.
And the president came in and said he was going to fix it, didn't. Who knows where? I don't think they're even talking anymore right now.
I don't think
This
so.
the PGA Tour has a new guy running the ship, and came from the NFL. Seems to have some good ideas, but also seems to, need to get in touch with the players' needs a little bit more. Champions Tour just had their pensions cut.
Yeah.
Just, they're trying to shave every dollar and make their other partners that came in, the investors, happy. Which with a really sizable partnership. And the PGA Tour is kind of not acting like a nonprofit anymore. And maybe that's a good thing, maybe it's not. But yeah, a lot of changes have happened in a short amount of time, kind of putting things in murky waters. And yeah, for that all being said, the eyeballs are there. The talent is there, the stories are there, the product is there. So
Well, and look at Brennan over the weekend. He comes out on a sponsor's exemption, his first pro tour event. He wins in Utah and skips the Korn Ferry. He was all prepared and ready to go there. And now he's got his 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour. Those are the great stories, I think, in golf. I love that story, John.
yeah, I think we're missing the Monday qualifiers stories as well. The fact that that has been diminished to the point of almost non-existence, is pretty sad. I think that's something that needs to be fixed going forward.
Well, I'll let you know this. I'm going to have Lee Wybransky, the famed golf artist, on. And guess where he lives and where my wife and I are headed up this next weekend? We're headed up to John Claffey's alma mater, Northern Arizona University. We're going into lumberjack country up to Flagstaff. So we'll make sure that we tell the university and tell the city that John Claffey says hello.
I absolutely do. I adore Flagstaff, always will. Great golf there. They've added some new courses over the years, and I used to cut my teeth around that place, and wish you a great trip.
Yeah, we'll have fun. We've been up 6 or 8 times during the summers, obviously, to beat the heat, but we're heading up for a little business trip this next coming weekend. All right, John. Tour Edge is going through a wonderful series of changes. And when I say changes, of course, David Glaude, the founder, the master club designer, the owner of Tour Edge, brought on Tim Clark this last year. Tim Clark was on this show with me. I've known Tim for years and years. You've known him in the industry years ago. A few years ago, he was with Wilson forever. And I knew Tim from those days. And now Tim is with you. Tell me, how's President Tim Clark doing?
Tim's great.
Give us a little review.
Tim is great. He's great to work with on a day-to-day basis. He is he's very active and in everything Tour Edge. And he got his feet wet pretty fast, and we started making changes almost immediately. And one of those first changes was a major rebrand. We have I'm wearing the hat, as you mentioned,
I see.
of a new TE Bug logo. We do have a new logo as well that goes with it. And this was all came about because of Tim. It was kind of the impetus for getting us into the golf ball market.
Well, the
And
logos had been there forever, and it was probably time to do a rebranding. Of course, obviously, still Tour Edge at touredge.com. And folks, everybody, you need to get to that website. It's such a great website, one of the best ones in all of golf anywhere, touredge.com. But it's a very cool logo, and the look of it is so clean, and it's a minimalist look, but you know exactly who you're looking at when you see the logo.
And that came about because Tim got us into the golf ball space. Tim obviously ran Wilson for 20 plus years as their president, and was a big part of their golf ball business. And so he brought connections and the know-how and the wherewithal to get. He wanted us to be a full service stop, and basically every manufacturer out there that makes clubs these days, minus Cobra and Ping, who has made golf balls before. Is a full service one stop shop for their partners and is in the golf ball space.
All right, let's talk about the ball. Tim said, "Hey, let's get a ball." What did David say when Tim said, "Let's have a ball"? How did that go over?
It took a couple sleeps for Dave to wrap his head around it. But that's what led to the new logos. Is the old logo just had a line underneath it, did not work on a golf ball. We had to move quickly to make it happen. Yeah, we have released our Exotics golf ball, which is a three-piece cast urethane ball that, it's $40 a dozen, and it's a tour preferred feel, amazing performance into the wind. It's for your better player who plays like, a Pro V1, Pro V1X. Really softer feel, amazing performance around the greens, really good spin. The feel and the durability of this ball is just lights out, especially for the money. So that's our first ball. We are going to have another offering, the Hot Launch ball that's coming in the spring. But yeah, it's just white for now. We're just kind of getting in slowly. We're not throwing our entire focus behind it. Our focus remains with golf clubs and golf bags.
Well,
But
and I want to talk about the new bag and that new look. What a clean, cool look the bag is. I've loved the bag since the moment I popped on your email to me and I saw it. I went, holy mackerel, that's the best bag on the market. And I still think it is. And I'm not just saying that, folks. I mean it. But I want to talk a little bit more about the ball. You've got the Exotics golf ball. It's performance driven. It's a tour level ball. It's competing with all other balls out there, correct?
correct.
Now, tell us who's gaming the ball right now?
Well, we're just getting out there. We actually sold out of our first shipment just in the pre-sale alone. We didn't have, we weren't shipping one
Wow.
yet, but the amount of dozens we had on hand were far exceeded by the orders we received. So there was a swell of our kind of our cult following came and knows what we've been offering with tech and performance in our clubs for, we're going into our 40th year.
Yes.
Well, we're a brand new company overnight after 40 years, going in year 40, and with this golf ball kind of leading the way, it forced us to rebrand and get these new logos, and we're just we're kind of learning over here. All right, what is I was in the golf ball business for 5 years. Tim was in it for 20 plus. Alessandra came from Wilson as well.
Yeah.
Alessandra Ladd is our head of brand, and she has golf ball background. Duffy Callahan is our new tour manager and fitting manager, and he has golf ball experience from Wilson as well. So there's just been an influx of talent here. There's been a new way of thinking that's been introduced, and we're just kind of learning the golf ball market. And but you know these the feedback from right away from not only our tour players but to our staff out there, our partners out there, all of our reps out there, everybody who's touched this ball is just coming back and saying this
Give me a
thing.
couple give us a couple comments from your tour players. And I know your main focus is the PGA Tour champions. And over the years, of course, I've had them all on the show and had them on television with me, as you know, and we've really focused on that. We have the Charles Schwab Cup Championship coming up at Phoenix Country Club. Of course, I'll be there again this year with the folks. So what am I going to hear from one or two of the players
Yeah,
when I talk
first
to them?
thing with the players was feel. And if you don't have the right feel in a golf ball, it's a non-starter. So we checked that box right off the bat. As they dug in a little bit, the consistent feedback was performance into the wind was something that they were not used to, how good it was,
Wow.
how it really performed in really bad conditions. And then the next thing after that was them asking, what have we done? Because the durability of this urethane is top shelf. It was hitting cart paths and lasting whole rounds, and they couldn't even see a scuff on it there. So those were the three main things: was feel, was flighting into the wind really, really well, and was the durability of the ball.
Well, I'll be getting my hands on them here in a couple of weeks at the Charles Schwab Cup Championship and doing some interviews with the players, and I'll have ball in hand, although I know you'll send me some balls if I ask. So, okay,
Done.
folks, I'll ask. John, will you send
Done.
me some balls?
Done deal. Yeah.
No big deal. All right, let's turn our attention to what Tour Edge has been for nearly 40 years, the most famous for. Although you're going to be famous for these balls, I love the bag. It's just what a great bag that is.
Yeah, it just
John,
showcases the new look,
just
the whole
perfect.
new rebrand. We're going for a younger golfer. We're, you know, we 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 did our thing out on the Champions Tour so much that I think people started equating us as a club for older players, and it's
It's not.
not really the case. We have a golf club for everybody. And so
Absolutely.
our marketing's kind of trending younger. And we have a whole, on top of all the other changes that we've talked about, we have a whole new exotics line that the name of it is literally exotics. It's
Let's get there. I
the
want to
new
see.
exotic series.
Tell
There's a
us
new
about those new clubs.
naming system. There's the exotics LS, driver fairway. And those are that's low spin version with the more compact, deeper faces. It's more player preferred spec. Only 440 cc on the driver. Full carbon wraparound on this design. We've never had that before. It's got 80% more carbon than we've ever had. So that really allowed dictated where the CG can be. R&D did a fantastic job of getting those weight savings, putting the center of gravity in the exact right space, tweaking up the MOI, and even in a player spec. Then there's the max versions, which is a driver, fairway, hybrid iron. That's going to be our best seller in all those categories. It is the beautiful same tech as the LS, but it's going to be the 460 cc driver. It's going to be a little more shallow face. It's going to be easier to get airborne, and it's all about forgiveness. That's where we've got 10K MOI in the driver, one of the highest fairway wood MOIs and hybrid MOIs that you can find. Just really, really easy to hit, straight, stable. But you're maximizing distance. And then we have a new light series, Exotics Light, that is the lightest driver and fairway on the market, that has lighter heads, lighter shafts, lighter grips. So this is all about increasing swing speed. If you just are swinging kind of your standard stock stuff and you go to the light, you're going to be swinging at least 2 miles per hour faster. So that is that's a whole new ball game for us, and we're getting into that market, and it's already checking out really, really nicely in the pre-sale. And then we have, along with the Max Iron, we have two new irons, which are, this is the jewelry. This is the cavity back blade and the muscle back blade, the exotic CB and MB irons. You can combo set them together, but they want I would say the CB is the most forgiving player's iron out there. That we've ever made. It's extremely forgiving, but it's got that thin top line, and it's a forged piece of jewelry that's just beautiful.
It
And you
is.
got your standard muscle back, the MB, a little harder to hit than the CB. That's why some people are combo setting them with the CB and the long irons and the MB and the short irons. But it is some really, really cool design work from David Glad, our lead designer, who's also our founder and our CEO. So that's the really what gets the people drooling out there when they see pictures of these new irons. We also have a new utility iron, which is the Exotics Tie Utility with a titanium face. I would say it's one of the more forgiving utility irons on the market. Really, really easy to hit and to replace your 2 iron, 3 iron, 4 iron. You can hit it off the tee or you can hit it off the deck. It's just a really versatile club. So it's a huge launch for us with a lot of different SKUs, but it's like I said before, we kind of make a club for everybody, and especially in this series, we're showcasing that with the LS, with the Max versions, and with the Light.
Love those. I think that's sheer genius right there. There's nothing a player needs in the game of golf that they cannot find at touredge.com, John. And that's what I like. And it doesn't matter if you're a young person getting into the game, it doesn't matter if you're an accomplished young person, it doesn't matter if you are a budding tour player, it doesn't matter if you're a male or a female, if you're in your 20s or your 70s, still trying to work on your game and shoot your age, maybe if you can, you will find everything you need at touredge.com. And for so many years, you've heard me talking about that. Now, one of the listeners have already written, well, I already have several questions, but we only have time for a couple. One of them is, are you still doing your fitting locations around the country? Tell us about that.
Yep. We're doing more fitting days than ever, which kind of is the new term for demo day. But we now schedule fittings with our territory managers that are out in every territory. We still have, I think we've grown it from 1,000 to 1,300 fitting locations across the country. They'll have a fitting bag. With exotics and even with Hot Launch.
Even with Hot Launch too, because I saw them, and just name some of the, big household name places that people can go get fitted.
Yeah, PGA Tour Superstore. Any bigger golf shop should have a fitting bag. Even some golf galaxies have the fitting bags in their stores. But it's dealer locator will show you exactly where to go and to try out the new stuff. It's the Exotics clubs launch on 11/4, so everything will be in and ready to go on that date. We say the proof is in the hit around here, and we want you to go try it. We want you to get fit. We also have a unique custom fitting strategy when it comes to how fast that we can actually maneuver, whereas some of the larger manufacturers take, a few weeks to a month to sometimes get you their stuff, especially in the busy season. We guarantee that it's going to arrive to you. It's going to ship. Once we receive the order, it's going to ship within 48 hours and arrive to you at however long it takes to ship. So 2 days here and it's out the door.
So you go get fitted, folks, which I've been saying for years, at any of those dealer locations around the country. And within a couple of days, the clubs will be built right there in Chicagoland area, Batavia, Illinois, to be exact, right, John? And right there in Chicagoland. And those golf clubs are going to be on your front door porch within a few more days after that. So certainly go get fitted. And within 5 to 7 days, you're probably going to see your golf clubs in your trunk and on the way to your local golf course. Unbelievable. Typical Tour Edge. Absolutely wouldn't expect anything less. And excited for this new ball, the new bag, and all the new clubs. I've got to get my order in, John. And I know you'll be excited for that because I'll be putting those right up front and center as I've been doing for years when I'm filming these TV shows. So can't wait to get the new ones up. I can't use the old bag anymore. I can't do it.
Yeah,
It's
no, you need the new one.
I'm going to have to
100%.
donate that or something to or put it in my golf history museum that I have in a special room. But
There you go.
anyway, so can't wait for that. We're going to continue on. John Claffey will join us again. I think my next guest from there should either be David, our founder, or maybe Tim Clark again, the president. But John, thank you so very much for being with me today and giving us all of the news and information about Tour Edge. Exciting times for Tour Edge at touredge.com.
My extreme pleasure, Ray. Thank you.
All right, there he is. All right, folks, thank you so very much for being with me today on the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show. So much more to come. And I've got Dr. Bob Denny still with me here. He went through that entire interview with John Claffey. Bob, tell me, what do you think? Did you hear anything new?
Well, yes, I was always interested in hearing the latest in golf clubs, and I looked at their blades, and I'm always interested in looking at blades because I grew up with the Hogan blade, and I wanted to advance myself, get more flexibility out of my products, and advance for different products, different golf balls, et cetera, et cetera. The President's Cup is being hosted at Medina next year, and that's 40 minutes away from Batavia, where John's group works, and it's going to be interesting to see if the new next generation, how many of them might be playing in on the President's Cup, who might be using that product.
He didn't say it during his interview, but he alluded to it. And that is that they have focused on the PGA Tour champions now for years. That's been their main focus as far as the Pro Tour goes. Now, other players, both men and women, have gamed Tour Edge golf clubs on other tours over the years. But the main focus of their marketing efforts have been the PGA Tour champions. He alluded to, and you heard him almost say it, that we're now going after a younger player. We're going after a younger tour player. I think you're going to see Tour Edge now with these new clubs, these new the new manufacturing materials, the new specifications that he went over. I think you're going to see some tour players on other tours gaming Tour Edge golf clubs. I really believe that. And I can't wait to see everything new out at the Schwab Cup Championship in a few weeks. Although I may get my order in before that. So we'll see how that goes. All right, Dr. Bob Denny, there he is. Thank you so very much for being with us today. I'm going to give you the final word before I say so long.
Ray, in 19, excuse me, in 20, 2004,
A nugget.
the
Here it
curse of
comes.
the curse of the Bambino ended for the Red Sox, okay? Because they won their first World Series championship since 1918. They were forever jinxed that Babe Ruth went over to Boston. Well, I think about Babe Ruth. And Babe Ruth loved the game of golf, and I think it's always great to hear people in history who played around with him. And Paul Runyon left us with one little thing before he passed away, one of the great teachers in the PGA of America. He says, Babe Ruth could hit the ball further than most tour players at that time, but you just didn't know where it's going to land.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of us recreational players. A lot of players, and John Claffey just gave you some golf clubs that you can use that are very forgiving and will help you increase your swing speed, the new light. I really like that. And you're going to increase your swing speed a couple miles an hour. And when you do, of course, you're going to hit the ball a little farther. So some distance there. But the question is, where is that ball going to land? And that's the question for all of us recreational players, some
And in
better than
golf,
others.
we always chase our foul balls.
Yes, we do. We absolutely do. And sometimes dangerously so. I can't believe golfers out here in the desert where there's rattlesnakes and scorpions and lizards and whatever else, javelinas and coyotes back in the desert. They'll hit a golf ball off into the desert and they'll walk out there with short pants on and go look around for a $5 golf ball. And I'll say, hey, you might want to take a 9 iron with you in case you find an animal back in there. Best thing to do is leave it where it lies, pull out another ball, and stay safe. So wherever you are, try to stay safe, folks, playing the game. Have a lot of fun. In the high desert where there's overseeding going on, everybody, make sure you check your favorite golf courses that you want to go play and make sure that they are open for play and what the status of the course is. Cart path only many times and all of that going on right now. So we're going to say so long for the Monday Golf Lifestyle Show, Dr. Bob Denny. We will be back on the Saturday morning Great American Golf Show coming up later this week.
Golf course superintendents are the unsung heroes of our great game. Due to the game's efforts, we now have turf that needs less water, courses that are more sustainable, with many now offering natural wildlife habitats. From the days of old Tom Morris, golf course superintendents have given golfers a reason to love this great game. But don't take my word for it. Jack Nicklaus agrees.
If you love golf like I do, thank a golf course superintendent.
A message from the Golf Course Superintendents Association of America and local superintendents everywhere.
Time when you buy and book online at DiscountTire.com. Did you know that Discount Tire now sells wiper blades? Stop by for a free air check or tire inspection and ask an associate about wiper blades today. And remember, if ever you're not satisfied with one of our tires, please feel free to bring it back. Thank you. Discount Tire.
Let's get you taken care of.